It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Tony Evers signed 5 bills into law this week that aim to provide new recourse for victims of sexual extortion. It's a crime that Evers and the legislature made a felony in Wisconsin in December.
Often called sextortion, it's a form of online blackmail where someone threatens to distribute sexual images or videos if that victim does not comply with certain demands. Those events are on the rise, according to the FBI, especially among young people.
One of the new laws allows victims to file a civil suit against a perpetrator. Others provide 4 new positions and new funding aimed at combating internet crimes. And law enforcement will now be able to investigate exploitation with administrative warrants rather than judicial warrants.
To hear more about these laws, we have Justin Patchen, professor in the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice at UW-Eau Claire and co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center. Justin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Glad to be back.
And Jesse Crow is with us, leader of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. He supervises those investigations in field offices in Wausau, Madison, and Eau Claire. Jesse, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us on the show today and bringing this matter to light because it's really important for us.
Jesse, we gave a very brief description of what we mean by sextortion. What does a sextortion case look like on the ground, and how much are you seeing that?
We're seeing an increase of it over the last 3 or 4 years. Last year, we saw over 650 tips that were received from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children on sextortion. We know those numbers are very low because victims and families are reporting it directly to local law enforcement. We do not collect those numbers. And so far this year, we've received over 235 of those leads. And then in the last couple of years, we've had at least 2 suicides of juveniles that are related to sextortion.
And Jesse, what does that case look like when it affects that kid, that family?
It's devastating. The suspects or the actors that go after these children trick them into sending images. The victim sends an image to the suspect. The suspect then uses those images against them, and it's a very, very high pressure sales. With a countdown timer telling the victim that their life is going to be ruined unless they pay money. A lot of children are in mental crisis after that. Some of them commit suicide. And it's just devastating for the families that are involved.
Justin, you've been studying teenagers and the internet kind of since there was an internet. Why are teenagers particularly vulnerable to this type of crime?
Well, you're right. They are particularly vulnerable, and it's sort of the confluence of adolescence and exploration with, you know, sexuality and interest in other people and technology, right? And they have easy access to other people, and they're interested in other people, and they're particularly vulnerable to these kinds of scams and exploitation because of their curiosity. And, you know, they want to be popular. They want attention to be paid to them. And Mr. Crow is right. We've seen it in our research as well. We started officially studying sextortion in 2016 across the United States. At that time, about 5% of the youth we surveyed, middle and high school students, had experienced sextortion. In 2025, just last year, that number was 15%. And when we first saw that, we thought maybe something was wrong with our data. Just had it increased so significantly. But then, you know, the FBI data is backing it up. The ICAC data is backing it up. And boys are more significantly likely to be targeted than girls, which is also interesting. So this is a huge problem.
Jesse, a law enforcement challenge, as with any cyber crime, if this is reported to a local police department, well, hang on, the actual perpetrators might be literally anywhere on the planet. How much of a challenge is that for local and state law enforcement?
It's very frustrating. So our main goal is to get services to victims and to try and identify perpetrators. If they are overseas, we try and work with our federal partners to get them that data, but that brings a lot of prosecutional issues with it. And so the victim support, the family support is really what we aim to go after for these types of cases, to make sure the victim knows they're not alone, that they have help out there, and that their family supports them and law enforcement is going to support them.
Looking at this new package of legislation, I want to ask each of you what stands out to you as maybe particularly meaningful or impactful. Justin, let's start with you.
Well, I think the enforcement mechanisms, they're important, and certainly the more resources to the Department of Justice across the state to investigate these issues is really important. But I was particularly happy to see an emphasis on an encouragement for the Department of Justice to basically educate people about this issue, whether it's students in schools or families and communities. There, more education is needed, and it seems like there's an emphasis on that. But it needs to be research-based, too. It needs to focus on, you know, these sort of developmental concerns, because the biggest issue is students find themselves in these positions because maybe they made a mistake. They've been told time and time again, don't share explicit images, and they made that mistake, they did it, and now they feel trapped. So we need to open up that line of communication and, you know, make it easier for these young people to confide in adults to get this really serious problem solved.
And Jesse, what stands out to you in that new legislation?
So the new positions and the use of the administrative subpoena are very valuable to us. So the positions are going to enhance our analytical pool. So our analysts here at the Department of Justice, they interact with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They triage and take all of the cyber tips we get from the National Center. Last year, we got over 19,000 tips from the National Center, and all those have to be viewed by personnel here. So that will help immensely. The second is the digital forensic examiner position. That's going to help with capacity for our forensics unit in processing computers and processing evidence from local law enforcement and our investigations to get that information out quicker. And then lastly, that outreach position. And that's going to be extremely valuable. Dr. Patchen is absolutely correct. Outreach is what we need to do. We have a really good anti-sextortion campaign right now where we provide posters and resource cards to communities, law enforcement, schools, and that will absolutely continue because of the statute. But we have success stories in showing how good the outreach is. Just in the last week, we've had two tips that we've received from the National Center on sextortion, where one, the child said that he had learned about sextortion and the dangers of it and knew not to get trapped by it. And the second one is a victim used a QR code on one of our resource products to actually file the cyber tip with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So we know that the outreach is working. And having a dedicated outreach specialist is going to be amazing for the state of Wisconsin and the messages that we're getting out to the communities.
We're talking about sextortion in Wisconsin with five new bills signed into law this week on the issue. Justin Patchen is with us, researcher at UW-Eau Claire. Jesse Crow with the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. This law earlier or late last year that made sextortion a felony is called Braden's Law after 15-year-old Braden Bone, a Cronenwetter teen who died by suicide after becoming a victim of sextortion. Last year, we talked to Braden's mother, Brittany Bird. Here's some of what she had to say.
I wish that it wasn't our story that had to make this happen. But if it can save even, you know, one more kid from going through this, one more family, in our case, it won't affect our case specifically because it'll be a federal case. But our hope is that it will be a warning to these predators. Like, not in Wisconsin, not here. Not our kids. This is what can happen.
Jesse, are you hopeful that felony designation and that states like Wisconsin and others are putting more resources into this could be a deterrent for the perpetrators?
It definitely can be, and it allows us to prosecute individuals within anywhere in the United States, which is very helpful, having a standalone crime for sextortion itself. And then that new law that was just signed by the governor allows us to use our administrative subpoenas to enforce or to get subscriber data for sextortion cases specifically, which is going to be very, very helpful in getting those resources to victims and identifying suspects.
Justin, if you can talk directly to families concerned about this issue, it seems like the key thing as a parent here is a kid in this situation is going to think, I screwed up. I did something I know my parents didn't want me to. Therefore, I'm not going to take this to my parents, right? The message is, yes, take that to your parents. How can families talk about this and convey that message?
Well, you're exactly right, Rob. And this is an opportunity, right? These laws that just passed is an opportunity for parents to have that conversation with their kids. It's not an easy conversation to have, of course, because you don't want your children, you know, participating in these kinds of behaviors necessarily, but you also want to protect them if they do. And again, these, especially these international bad actors, are very skilled at coercing kids into doing things they normally wouldn't do. So you have many examples across the country and here in Wisconsin where you know, children who are really good kids just find themselves in a terrible situation. And so we need to open up that line of communication. It seems like it's getting better. I think the awareness campaigns are working. So even in 2016, when we first studied this, only about 40% of the victims of sextortion told an adult about their experience. Now it's about 57%. That's not enough. That means almost half of the kids who are targeted don't tell adults about their experience. But, you know, at least it's moving in the right direction. So the key is opening up that line of communication. And as a parent, you might not know what to do, but at least being there for your child and working through this issue with them is hugely important.
And Jesse, let's take that next step. The parent, the kid has come and said, hey, this is happening. The parent doesn't know what to do, who to report it to. What do you tell parents when this is happening in their family?
Yeah, the best thing to do is to contact your local law enforcement to report it, but then also contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at cybertipline.com. And they can report it directly to NCMEC, and we will get it here at the ICAC task force as well. And to remain calm. And that's the big message we give to parents. You're going to be upset when your child does this, but remain calm and provide support to them because they were tricked into doing this by those bad actors.
And that's a good place to leave it. Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on and bringing this issue to light.
And Justin, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks. Happy to do it.
That's Justin Patchen, professor in the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice at UW-Eau Claire. He's co-director of the Cyberbullying Research Center. And Jesse Crow is commander of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. He supervises those investigations in field offices in Wausau, Madison, and Eau Claire. We've been talking about a set of new state laws just signed this week targeting sextortion online. If this has been an issue affecting you, your family, your loved ones, and you're willing to share that story, let us know. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.